Take your Bibles, please. Turn with us to the book of Psalms, the 20th Psalm, please. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble, the name of the God of Jacob defend thee, send thee help from the sanctuary, and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings, and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Shelah. Grant thee according to thine own heart, and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. Let the King hear us when we call. Let us pray. Father, again, I thank you so much today for the blessed book, the Bible, the Word of God. This is your Word, Father. We believe it. We're thankful you left it for us. And Father, once again today, I just need your power. I need your wisdom. We need your help here, Lord, as we always do. And I trust that you'll help us as we preach, but also help us to receive the Word of God. Help it to bless us and encourage us and strengthen, Lord, the areas we need strengthened. Now, Father, if there's any here without Christ, never been saved, oh God, I pray that they'll trust Christ today, be born again, become a child of God. Thank you so much for what you're going to do. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. You may be seated. Actually, Psalm 20 and Psalm 21 kind of go together. Psalm 20 is a psalm we believe is written when David was getting ready to go to war. Now, that could have been a lot of different times. David seemed like was certainly going to war a lot of times. One man said his sword might have been worn, but it was never rusty. And I suppose that's true, because David in 2 Samuel, you know, and you'll find, I think it's chapter 8 and 9 and 10, you'll find over and over and over he's heading out for war, he's out for battle. And then in Psalm 21, which we probably won't cover this morning, but in Psalm 21, you find him thanking God for what God did for him. He requests some things in Psalm 20, and in Psalm 21, he's praising the Lord. I think it's always good, it's always right, whenever God answers our prayer, to certainly praise him and thank him for what he's done. Amen? He's given us salvation, hasn't he? Oh, thank God for that. God's children, thank God for that. Amen? And he helps us day by day, and we need to certainly thank him for it. There's a lot of battles out there for the Christian. I told you I was going to mention Stephen there, but Stephen this week, I was thinking about him. Our Stephen Ross is who it is. This week he had an ingrown toenail cut out. I think that was on Tuesday, if I got that right. And then on Friday, he went to the hospital and had 4 wisdom teeth cut out. And so this boy is hurting. Now, I never did hear him griping about it. He was looking a little bit apprehensive, but I never did hear him griping about it, you know. And I understand he's done all right and is coming along all right. But there's just things that come upon us in life. There's just things. And sometimes it's just all at once approaches, a day, and seems like that day just doesn't do well. Sometimes it's maybe a week. Sometimes it's something that we have to face that is a real battle. It may be a physical, like I was talking about Stephen there, and we've talked about some of the other ones here in our church this morning. It may be a physical battle, some kind of disease or something that they have to face. It's not easy. And it's not easy. It's like a battle they're going into. And that thing is not, it's not an easy thing. And they need God's help. Sometimes it might be a financial crisis that someone comes upon, and they just have to face it, and it's very difficult. It could be some kind of a burden they're carrying that maybe most folk don't know anything about. It's a burden that they have to carry. Sometimes it could be just so many things. Maybe it's a spiritual problem they're trying to overcome in their life. Maybe there's something they're trying to get out of their Christian life, and it's become a battle. And old Satan will fight you and battle you concerning it. So it could be a lot of things. David here was literally going to war, no doubt about that, and he needed God's help. And I can only say to you, folks, we need God's help. There's a lot of battles even in our everyday life, our Christian life. I've told you that. I think I mentioned a little bit about that on Wednesday night. There's battles, I told you, that pastors fight, but there's battles that you fight. You fight battles. There's no doubt about that. And there are a lot of times spiritual battles. And sometimes it's maybe the job you have or whatever it might be. There's just battles you face seemingly that are strong and hard and difficult. Well, you have a God that knows how to win those battles. A lot of times or sometimes he even says you don't even have to fight. I'll just take care of it. Sometimes he allows us to fight the battles in his power, in his wisdom. We know we can't do it without him. Amen? Too many times I'm afraid we try that. We try to do without God in our life and try to pick all the pieces up ourselves and put them all back together, and that just don't work. We need God's help. Well, David here in this psalm was crying out to God for help. He was asking God. He was getting ready to go out to a battle. And you can kind of imagine, maybe you can put your battle in there, whatever it is, whatever that is causing you problems or troubles or heartaches or some kind of a battle in your life. Maybe you could put yours in there. David was getting ready to go to a literal battle, and I think it was probably with the Assyrians, more than likely. And he was getting ready to fight. And so he began to call out to God. He understood, he realized that he needed God's help. And so he gives some, he asks some things of God and makes some statements here. I'm going to kind of go down through seven of them just quickly. I'm not going to spend time on them. We're going to tell you some things he did. First of all, in verse number one, he asked the Lord, "Hear thee in the day of trouble." He wanted God to hear him. Now, folks, it was a day of trouble. That's what the Bible says. So we know he was getting ready to face some trouble, and he wanted God to hear him in that day. Also, in verse number one, he asked for God to defend him. He needed God to defend him. Amen. You and I need that. God to defend us. In verse number two, he said, "Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion." Here he's asking certainly for the Lord just to help him. Not only to defend him, but help him, give him. And if you'll notice in verse number two also, he talks about giving him strength. He needs strength. Now, David certainly needed physical strength to go out to battle. You and I need spiritual strength. Sometimes we need physical strength in some of the things that we have to do. We need physical strength, extra physical strength. But we certainly need the spiritual strength from God Almighty. And you find that David was asking for strength. And then in verse number three, he said, "Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifices." You'll notice here he was asking God to remember. Now, we don't have to worry about God being forgetful like sometimes I am. Amen. I forget things sometimes. And you probably do too. I see some head shaking. You get over about 40 years old and you begin to forget things. Amen. It don't get any better, folks. I'm sorry to tell you that, but don't get any better. But anyway, you forget some things. And he was making sure that God had not forgot. He wanted God to remember some things. In verse number four, he talks about that God would grant thee, or that God would supply him the need of his life. He had some things that he needed, and he wanted God to supply those things. And then in verse number five, he talks that God would fill him. He said, "We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions." He would fulfill all things for him. He would take care of all things, put everything in perspective and help him. He was getting ready to go to battle, and he needed God's help. I don't know what battle you're facing. I just don't know what it is. But you probably are facing something. Maybe some will be big, some are small. But we need the same God. We need the same help. Amen. It's him we need. And this morning, I just want to cover some things with you. Maybe it'll kind of help us. I'm going to take just time enough. In verse 6 through 8, he talks about, well, verse 6 especially, he says, now that I that the Lord saveth his anointed. You know, he had the assurance that God would save him. I like that. You know, I think, you know what, we don't have to worry about God failing. Will God help? Now, folks, I know, shouldn't have to say this, it's not always on our timing. Amen. It's not always on our timing. But will God help? Amen. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. He has the assurance. And that's what David said. I have the assurance that God will help. God will save me. Amen. And then in verse number 7 and 8, he talks about the national situation. Because he begins to talk about the chariots and the horses. He says, and some will go to horses, but we will. Up in verse number 6, he talked about I. In verse number 6, he talks about we. We will remember the name of the Lord our God that are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. In other words, I believe today one of the greatest needs, and I'm not preaching on that this morning, but I think one of the greatest needs as a nation, we need to realize God is our help. And God is the one we need to save this nation. We need God. And it's not the horses and the chariots. It's not the United Nations that we need as a nation. We need God's help. Amen. And in getting that, and I'm going to get off of that, but we need to get back to God. We need to live righteously, get back to God so that God can help us. Amen. We need to do that. And then, of course, In verse number 9, he talks about, save, Lord, let the king hear us when we call. His trust, his faith, everything was in God. He knew there was no help outside of God. Okay? David knew that. And I want you to know that this morning too. I'm going to begin with verse number 1. And we're going to look at that. He says, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. I just want you to know, to me, when I hear that, And I think, well, I'm encouraged by that. That whatever it is that I've got facing me, I have a wonderful God that loves me and it will take care of me and will oversee the problems of my life. Not always like I want him to oversee him, but he's my God. And he will take care of me. He will do that. Why? He's my God and I'm his child. Now, I notice also that, and I'm just going to give you a verse of scripture in John 15. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you may ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. You've got to take the scriptures. You've got to remember the ifs of the Bible. God says, if you abide in me and my word abide in you. Now, folks, God expects us to abide in his word and his word abide in us. God expects that. And he said, you can ask what you will. You know what? If we'll mind the word of God, we won't be asking things that's contrary to his will. That's what he says down in 1 John 5. He says, if you ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Pray in the will of God. But the thing that I get out of that mostly is this. God is ready to help. See, whatever it is in your life, God is ready to help and wants to help. Amen. He's waiting. If you're a child of God, which I trust you are, you've been born again into God's family, then God wants to help you. Now, that's just a good thing to remember. He's not sitting up there saying, you know what, I'm just going to wait and decide whether I want to help them folk or not. I mean, I know that sounds silly, but, you know, sometimes I think people react to God like that. I'm going to ask God, but I just wonder if he'll help me. Well, God is ready to help. Amen. He loves you and he wants to help you. Amen. He'll help you according to the principles of his word. You understand that. Amen. But God is ready to help. I'm encouraged by that. Then also in verse number 2, you notice he said, send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. We also, and I mentioned this earlier, but folks, listen. We've got to get off of this strength that we have within us to get the job done. We need God's strength. You know, Paul, he came to his God and he said, you know, three different times and asked him to take away that thorn of his flesh. And finally, God just simply said to him, my grace is sufficient unto thee. My grace is sufficient. the grace of God. Folks, there's sometimes God don't lift the thorn. Just sometimes he don't take it away. Now you say, well, why don't he? You'll have to ask God. I don't know. Sometimes he does. Sometimes he does. But we know this. When he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, he's telling you, my strength is sufficient for you. My strength is there to help you. That's what David understood here as he went out to battle. The strength of God was there, and he knew he needed God's strength. Folks, you and I've already told you this, but you face battles. I face battles, and we need God's strength. And his grace is sufficient unto thee. Remember, if he doesn't lift some thorn from your life, his grace is sufficient. Amen. Just remember that. We need to understand that. You know, when the word of God says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. You see, if we'd stop with that, I can do all things, we'd be in real trouble. It's got to be through Christ which strengthens me. That's what David understood. David understood that God was his strength. And I want you to understand, when you face a problem, when you get ready to go to battle, maybe you're in the midst of it now, it can't be your strength that wins that battle. It's got to be God's strength. And you know, young people's got to grow up and learn that in their life. They've got to learn to trust God. But you know, so do we adults. We sometimes want to do it ourselves. We want to carry all the burden. We want to put everything back together ourselves. We've got the ability. No, no, no. It's God's strength that we need. David understood that. You need to understand it. I need to understand it. It's the strength of God. Then look also in verse number 7. He said, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. You know, when he talked about remembering, I don't know how you do it. I don't know in your life what you think, how you think back. But I like to think back on the times that God helped me in the past. You see, that builds your faith. You know, you can be sure that God's going to help you. Well, he did it before. He's the same God. You know, I can look back at my salvation and thank God for my salvation. That tells me something. He loves me. He loves me and gave his only begotten son for me. I look back on my salvation many times in my life, and I suppose you do too, and thank him for it and remember he cared enough about me to save my soul. And then I can go back and remember the times when God helped me in difficult situations. I don't know. Let me give you an illustration. Early in my Christian life, we hadn't been saved. I'm going to just guess at this. This is probably maybe 2-3 years. I was down in our basement, and my wife knows this. My children probably know this. They may not remember, but in our basement, I had so much trouble with our well. It was a motor down there that pumped it. The pump was down there. And it went out underground, through the basement wall, out into the well that set out in front of our house. We had a lot of trouble with that. Come to find out, I'm going to make a long story short. Come to find out, it had filled in. I had all kinds of plumbers telling me everything else, but it had filled in down in there, fell in the tubing that it went down. We had to go finally down in there and clean that out, and we had all kinds of water. But until then, God used that to help teach me patience and a lot of other things. Amen. There's just some things that, you know, that God teaches you with. But I was down there one of the first times I was working on it, and I had two big pipe wrenches. And I've still got my daddy's pipe wrench. I don't have nothing to do with the message. But I've got my daddy's pipe wrench. It's a big old long thing. I've still got it. I treasure that thing. But anyway, I had it down there, and I had another one. And I was trying to break this pipe loose. And I mean, I was working on that. And I was a lot younger then. I had a lot more strength. I had the strength of a young man. And I mean, I was pulling on them, and I couldn't budge them. It had rusted, you know, and it was a mess. And finally, I was wore out. I was trying to break. I said, I don't know how I'm going to get this loose. Now, folks, you know I didn't hear no voice. But it was as though the Lord says, well, why don't you just let me help you? Have you ever been there? You know, we always think about him last, you know. And so he said, why don't you let me help you? And so I bowed my head and I said, God, I can't get this loose. Would you please help me? And so I took the wrenches. Now, I'm just telling you the truth. I took them wrenches. Now, I had to pull on them. But it was just like God was pulling on them. They just broke loose. I can't explain it. I'm not trying to get eerie here. I'm just simply saying God taught me something in that little illustration. God taught me if I'll ask him, he'll help me. And I mean, they just come loose. Yeah, I put the pressure on, but they just come loose. And I was amazed. And I said, Father, thank you. I'm going to remember that. Now, that's been at least 30 years ago, probably 30 years ago at least, and I still remember that. And I still think about that. See, that's what God's trying to say. Remember. Remember how God helped you. Amen? Will he help you? Yes, he will. Well, how do you know? Well, I remember. I remember the times when God helped me. I remember the times when other difficult times and spiritual problems in my life where God helped me. Amen. Amen? That's what God wants you to know. He wants you to remember back and understand that God is ready to help you. Amen? Remember what God has done for you. You know, the Pharisees said, you do err not knowing the scriptures. You know, one of the reasons why a lot of times that we don't trust God, we don't even know what his promises are. We have the slightest idea what he's promised to do. Amen. We don't know the scripture. Folks, we need to know the promises of God and trust God. And remember, folks, many of you here has been saved for many, many years. Some of you not as many years, but you can look back on your life and remember the time when God helped you. Yes, you can. Sure you can, because I know he's that kind of God. He's helped you. And he wants you to remember that. Amen? I think we lack faith a lot of times because we don't understand the scriptures. We don't know the scriptures. We don't trust God Almighty, you see. We need to learn something. That's what he was telling us in that verse of scripture. We need to learn something. It's not the horses and chariots of Egypt or Syria that's going to help us. And you say, what that's got to do with me? It's not all the physical things, and it's not a lot of times people. People do help us, but we want to run to people for our help. Why don't we run to God? See, we're wanting to trust in this and trust in that. Why don't this help me? Why don't this take care of my problem? That's what Israel did over and over in the scriptures. They'd run to Assyria, or they would run to the Egyptians, and they had great armies, and they had the horses and the chariots, and they would trust in them to help them and get them out of trouble, and most of the time it didn't work. Why? Because their trust was in those things instead of God. We've got to call on God, folks. It's not the horses and chariots of this world that's going to help us. It's God. You know, I'm serious about this. I want you to get used to doing something. You got a need in your life? Do you have a need right now? Do you have really a need? Call unto God. Now, I don't know how he'll supply that need. He may use people to help supply. I don't know. But don't cry out to people. Cry out to God. See, we want to help God a lot of times. We want to go to somebody else and say, well, I have this need, you know. And so they'll pick up the idea that you've got this need and they'll step in and help you. Why don't you talk to God about it? Amen. See, that's where real help comes from. He'll help you get the pipe loose. Amen? See, he'll help you. Call unto God and be willing to follow his principles and his word. Listen to him. And he'll help you. He wants to help you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants you to remember those times. Why? He wants you to help you so you can remember those times in your life when God helped you. Amen? That builds your faith. Look down the road and you'll be able to look back and say, I remember crying out to God and he helped me. I'm going to just tell a little story here on Rita Hall. Where's she at? There she is. The other day I called Rita and I asked her, I said, Rita, God's had on my heart. Now listen to this. I was in the middle of studying for a sermon. I don't remember if it was this one or another one. I don't remember what it was. But I was in the middle of studying. And all at once, God just pressed me to call Sister Rita. I've been wanting somebody to take over the mission ministry up here, the mission house. That whenever we have visitors come in, they would take care of it. They'd get it all ready. They'd keep it clean. They'd go in afterwards and clean it and keep everything just right. Where my wife would not have to fool with that anymore. Not that she hasn't been willing to, but she's done it for a long, long time, and she don't need it. She just don't need it. And I felt like God wanted somebody else to do it. So anyway, I'd been asking the Lord, well, who am I going to ask? I didn't know what to do. I said, Lord, who am I going to ask? And he really put Rita Hall's name on my heart. And so I picked up the phone and called her. Now, this is the truth. She said, Pastor, you're not going to believe this. She said, I was just in cleaning our bathroom or room or something. I can't remember what it was. She was just in it. He said, 5 minutes ago, and I told God, you want me to do something, and I don't know what it is. I need to know what it is. 5 minutes later, the pastor called. You know what? She'll never forget that. No, she'll never forget that. She'll remember that. She'll remember that she's got to do a good job up there because God told her to. God's the one to give it to her. And he made it very clear to her, this is what I want you to do right now. You understand what I'm talking about? Well, I want to tell you, God will help you. And you can look back on these things. You can look back on these times and remember how God helped you. Amen. Don't ever forget God's help. That builds your faith, you see. Remember and have faith. Let God build your faith. Look back on the years and the times when God helped you. You know what we do most time? Honestly now, you listen to this preacher. Most time we're so worried about the problem we're facing right now that we're trying to figure out what in the world, why did God, or maybe not right now, maybe the things, the troubles you've had in life, or maybe your troubles you're having now, instead of remembering the goodness of God. You've got to get your mind off of all of those things that are not going right with you and begin to trust God to help you and remember how good he's been to you. Now, God's been good to you. If you're sitting here today, he's been good to you. Amen. And he wants to help you. Amen. And he will. I want you to remember another truth. Verse number 8, chapter 20. Says, they are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. I want you to understand something. You see, we're always talking about, and it's true, we have an enemy. There's no doubt in the world we have an enemy. Old Satan is your enemy. There's no doubt. He hates you. He despises you. If you're a child of God, he don't want you to succeed. He don't want you to grow in your Christian life. He don't want you to do it. But I want you to know a truth. He is a defeated foe. He's defeated already. Now, he may be causing you trouble in your Christian life, maybe giving you some difficulties and hardships, but I want to tell you, he's already defeated. Let me take you over to the book of Romans, please. The book of Romans, the fifth chapter of the book of Romans. Let's start reading verse number 17. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came unto all men unto justification of life. Satan's work is defeated. Jesus has won the battle. We was defeated. All of us are in sin, but Jesus made the way out to give us righteousness, God's righteousness. And he says in verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Folks, that was Jesus who done that. That wasn't you or I that did that. That was Jesus that done that. He was the one that was obedient. Amen. And then he says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. You know what? God brought the law as a schoolmaster to us, that old sin may abound, so we'll know how terrible sin is, how wicked it is, and it is. And then he says, and offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Amen. Yes, yeah, sin is terrible, it's horrible, it abounded, but grace did abound much more. And he says that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. I just want you to know that Satan is a defeated foe. Jesus Christ has already defeated him. In fact, while you're in Romans, just turn over there real quickly, the book of Romans, the last chapter. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I just want to show you a verse of scripture that once in a while I'll turn to when I've felt like old Satan has just given me a hard time. I don't know if you ever been there or not. Or sometimes he just likes to give me a hard time. And you just feel like, you know what, you're just being beat down. So I'm reading this verse of scripture in verse number 20, chapter 16. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Satan, I say, you know what? You're going to get him. Yes. Amen. And I want to tell you something. Satan, I'm going to help. He says under your feet. No, it's not me. It's not my power. It's nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with that. Jesus has won the victory. You're already defeated. You're on your way to hell. Boy, you better remember that. You get a hold of that. That old guy wants you to think that he's the big powerful thing. Folks, he's just got he's limited time he's got hanging around here. And he's headed for hell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. He's going to burn in a hell forever. That's that foe that's giving you all that trouble. Jesus has won the victory. Amen. Boy, remember that. Remember how good God is. And old Satan is going to spend an eternity in a devil's hell forever. Go back with me now to the book of Psalms just for a moment. I want you to notice in verse number 9, he says, save, Lord. I want to tell you, that's a powerful but short prayer. If you'll notice there, David had confidence. After saying all these other things, he could look unto God and say, save, Lord. That's a powerful thing. Do you know if you're getting ready to go to battle, or you're already in one, maybe it's about to wear you down, why don't you just say, save, Lord. I want to show you a portion of scripture again that I show other people as well as myself. I want to take you there. It's Psalms 107 that I believe that'll help you. I sat with someone this week and opened up this scripture to them. Got a real blessing out of it myself while I was doing it. Listen to this. Psalms 107. In verse number 23, they that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that because that's not my point, but I want to tell you, I don't know if you've ever recognized the fact that the business that God's people do is a great business. No, it's a great business. It's a great sea out there. Sea's wicked. They're wicked out there. But we go down into that sea every day of our life to do great business for God. Now, here's what happens. It said, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. Yeah, we do, don't we? Don't we? On day by day, we see how God works, what he's doing, how wonderful he is, and see what great things he does. And then he says, for he commanded and raiseth a stormy wind, which lifted up the ways thereof. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Now, I don't know your life. Have you ever felt like you've been raised up on a big old wave and all at once just let down to the bottom? You're in the depths of troubles? Well, I want to tell you, there's a great God that knows how to take care of those. He's the one that allowed them to raise. He's the one that allowed them to drop. Now listen to what he says. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Now folks, you may say, well, I don't stagger around like a drunken man, but you may spiritually. Have you ever been at your wit's end? Have you ever been to the end of the rope and tied a knot onto it just to hold on? God said they're at their wit's end. They don't know what to do. They've come to the end of it. Have you ever been there? Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. What's the answer to all that? What's the answer to being to your wit's end? What's the answer to the battles that you're facing? Cry unto the Lord. That's what the psalmist said. Cry unto the Lord and he'll bring you out of your distresses. Amen. Amen. See, what we don't want to do a lot of times, we don't want to cry unto him. We don't want to talk to him. We don't want to admit we need any help. And I want to tell you, you're just going to hang there on the end of your rope. Now you need to cry unto the Lord and then listen to what this wonderful thing says after this. He maketh a storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. He calms the storm. Folks, you got a storm in your life? Cry unto God. He'll bring you out of your distresses and he'll calm the storm. And listen to what he says. I like this. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. There's a day, and it's assured in the word of God, there's a day when we're going to be brought to our desired haven. We have a heaven waiting on us. The turmoils and troubles of life are going to be with us for the rest of our life. Well, that doesn't mean that God can't calm the storms of our life. But folks, you're just going to face another. You can count on it. They're not going to quit. Okay? But there's coming a day when God is going to present us in his presence before himself to a place that there'll never be another storm. There'll never be another distress. It's the desired haven. I think probably I can say this for you. There's sometimes, don't you just desire to be there? Don't you sometimes look at it and say, I'm just tired. I'm just tired. Boy, heaven would be good. Well, that day's going to come for his children. Amen. Now, if you're at your wit's end, what are you going to do? You're going to cry out to God. That's your only hope. It's the only way. Cry out to God, and he'll deliver from our distresses. And he said, and I like that, he said there'll be a quiet. Don't you ever yearn sometimes? Oh, I'm not, and I think mamas and daddies sometimes yearn for quiet. But I'm talking about just the quietness of the soul. Just the quietness of the soul. Or you just want the quiet of God. Peace of God. Have you ever been there? Do you want that? You know God can do that for you. In the midst of distresses and troubles, God can quiet and calm the storm. Yes, he can. Amen. That's what he wants to do. David said, before I went to the battle, yeah, I cried out to God. I needed his help. I remembered how faithful he was, how good he was. There was no doubt about it. He was going to save me. Why? Because he's God. I'm his child. I'm his anointed, David said. I'm His. I want you to know that. I want you to remember that. Whatever storm you're in, whatever battle's raging, you have a God that loves you and wants to take care of it. Let's pray. Father, again today I thank you for the promises of your word. Didn't get into Psalm 21, Lord, but well, it sure tells us when that storm's been taken care of, the battle's been won, to sure thank you and praise you for what you've done. And we sure want to look back on our life and thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're going to do in the future because you're God. So I ask you today, Lord, there may be some hearts here that's hurting that we may know nothing about. But Father, they've been hurting maybe for some time. Maybe it's getting serious. Maybe they're to their wit's end. Maybe they've tied a knot on the end of the rope and they're just hanging on. Father, help them to understand how much you love them. And what you want is for them to cry out to God, call out to you, and that you will help. I pray if there's anyone here, Lord, that's not saved, Father, they've never come to that place where they've understood they're at their wit's end spiritually. They need to cry out to God for salvation. They need to be born again. I pray, God, that you'll touch that heart this morning and bring them unto Christ, who died for their sins upon the cross of Calvary, who loved them so much that he came and paid the cost of their sin that they might have eternal life. Once again today, I ask your will to be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.